Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another Mac, a Friday Night Mac, with your hosts, as usual, me, McCorley Matthew, and my co-host, Willie Boy Remote. What's up, Will? How's it going, man?
Hey, what's up, man? How you doing?
Doing good, man. Thank you for joining me, as usual, tonight on this Friday night. And thank you guys for joining us. You know, as you know, usually we do the show on Saturday at 10, but since me and Will won't be available on Saturday at that time, decided to do the show on Friday night here on Blog Talk Radio. give you another edition of Friday Night Mac on this Friday night / Saturday morning. And as usual, you know, we talk about entertainment, news, hot topics, sports, females, movies, anything else that's on our mind, we pretty much discuss. And if you guys want to chime in and give your feedback, the phone number is 347-308-8626. Again, that's 347-308-8626. So, you know, we'll talk about a lot of stuff that's on our minds in the news and entertainment, and also discuss a little later, give you our review on Spider-Man Far From Home, which we saw this past week, and also review The Outsiders, the Outsiders movie for the Summer Movie Challenge. So all that and more later in the show. But first, I'm watching ESPN, and I have to say, the Knicks are cursed. Mm-hmm. The Knicks, they have to be cursed because they're playing in the Summer League, and then an earthquake hits. Well, I mean, the earthquake wasn't in Las Vegas where the Summer League games are taking place, but it was about 150 miles northeast. Well, let me see. 6.9 earthquake hits about 150 miles northeast of L.A. So Nevada was able to feel it. And because of that, you have the this game between the Knicks and Pelicans in the Summer League. It's delayed now. I don't know when they're going to resume it. Looks like it's probably going to be on a later date, but looks like that game is finished for now. And there's 7 minutes left, they said, remaining in the game.
Who was leading?
I think when I checked, the Knicks were leading, in the second quarter. So
I mean,
I don't know.
This is a exhibition game. Like they don't need to. This is not like a baseball game where it rained out and you got pushed.
That's true.
I mean, it don't matter.
Yeah, well, but then again, you do have to get some of the rookies. You have to get the rookie, you know, you have to see how the rookies play, you know, and some of the D-League guys that's trying out for the team, you know. But, yeah, I see your point.
The only thing people wanted to see was Zion Williamson versus R.J. Barrett, you know, their first, you know, unofficial NBA game, you know, playing their preseason game in the Vegas League.
Right.
So come on, they did that. They played, so that's it. That's it. You don't really need the ending. Like, just give whoever was leading in the end the win. Like if it was a rainout, the game got rained out, you know, and you got you won by the rainout, you know, after a long rain delay. That's it.
Yeah. Well, I checked.
What you gonna do?
It looks like the Pelicans were leading 80-74.
All right, so Pelicans won. We'll take the L. You know, it doesn't even count anyway. We'll get plenty of L's in this regular season anyway. So,
come on.
Like, it's not that serious.
Yeah.
What
was the Knicks?
On a day off, you know, let's say we're playing Toronto. We're supposed to fly back home, fly to Las Vegas to play the game that got postponed, and then go back to the Garden or something. I'm like, come on. It doesn't matter. Like, come on. It's not that serious. The only thing that's serious is that, you know, God forbid, hopefully nobody died, you know, from this earthquake. I mean, obviously the odds of that happening is extremely strong. I mean, but you know, my thoughts and prayers are for the people, you know, who are directly affected. You know.
Then
they had one before that too. You know, that was a 6.9. I think yesterday it happened. Or should I say Thursday it happened. Thursday and Friday.
Hopefully no one got injured, no deaths, you know, in this earthquake. But I just read online. It looks like they are postponing the game. So I don't think that you're going to have, you know, the game restarted from the initial point. But, yeah, there's other games that they can play. So, but, yeah, hopefully, you know, no one got injured, no deaths from this earthquake. But the Knicks are cursed. I mean, even in a they can't even play a summer league game without the damn earthquake, you know, hitting them. But I want to talk about the Knicks for a second here. I don't want to stay on the Knicks for too long because, you know, they'll get me aggravated. But The Knicks, as we all know, we all heard this past week, and you were talking on, you know, you were discussing this on your show. The Knicks, they lost out on the top two free agents during this summer free agency, KD and Kyrie Irving. And I already told you my thoughts on your show. I thought, you know, KD, you know, they shouldn't have gotten him anyway. Shouldn't have gone off them because he's a major risk. You know, he tore his ACL. He's going to be out next season. Who knows what he is when he comes back. So I'm relieved that the Knicks didn't – well, they say they didn't want to give him the max. But, I think KD didn't even want to – didn't want to even interview or sit down with the Knicks anyway. That's what I think. His decision all along was to sign with the Nets. That's what I think. And Kyrie, yeah. I mean, I wasn't big on Kyrie in the first place, so I'm kind of relieved they didn't sign him either because of the fact that, you know, he has issues with his teammates and, you know, he also wanted to go to the Nets because, you know, he's been a lifelong Net fan since he was a kid. So kind of relieved that inside need those guys, and the Knicks, they have to do it like all these other teams have to do. You know, they have to rebuild, you know, get these young players, develop them. They have RJ Barrett, so, you know, surround, make him the franchise player, so, you know, surround him with good talent, and hopefully maybe in several years or so, the Knicks can compete for a championship. Maybe. But now they got to do it the hard way, you know, stop quick fixing things, you know? So,
for real.
So what they got to do moving forward. And the Knicks, man, they, you know, I don't blame KD and Kyrie for not coming in the Knicks because the Knicks are dysfunctional. The management is horrible. And when I say management, I mean Dolan, the guy that owns the team. No one wants to play for this guy. If there was a Fortune 500 company out there and they were dysfunctional and the management was made horrible decisions and treated their former employees like dirt, would you really want to join that company? Even though they're one of the top companies, they make a lot of money, but would you really want to join that company? No, you wouldn't.
Nope.
So I don't blame Kyrie and KD for not coming to the Knicks. I applaud them. You know? So I actually think they made the right decision not coming in the Knicks. To teach the Knicks, this will teach the Knicks the lesson to, again, rebuild the right way and start winning. Start winning games so that, players want to come here. So that's my take on it, you know?
I feel you.
And, you know, I know you had some different views on the Knicks. You know, you wanted Kyrie and KD.
Yeah, I thought it was worth the chance of, you know, going. To be honest with you, I wanted KD and I wanted Kawhi Leonard. The only reason I was going to take Kyrie is if Durant came. I wasn't going to take Kyrie by himself because he's a great player, but he's not. A franchise player. You know what I mean? He's a 1A.
Yeah.
You know, he's not the top guy, you know what I'm saying? So I wouldn't want him on the Knicks by himself, you know what I'm saying? But I thought going after Durant was worth the shot. But obviously, you know, he didn't want to come, you know, and you know that's his prerogative, you know. And you know, I mean, he did sign with a team that never won, so at least they're at least trying to build a team up and not going to a team that wins all the time like he did with the Warriors. So, I mean, we'll see. He has a chance to, you know, create history with the Nets, you know.
Yeah, we shall see about that.
It's just messed up that he came this close to signing with the Knicks, and, you know, hey – If he can't bounce back to the player he was, then it was a blessing in disguise, you know. But it's just messed up that they just canceled the meeting with Kawhi Leonard, even though he wasn't gonna come over here. They just want to save face and not offering the the max contract, you know, to KD. You know, it's just them trying to save face from being played again another year. Big free agents want to come. So, I mean, could Greek Freak come in a few years? Who knows? But like we've been saying for the past couple of years,
yeah, let's
I believe
not start
when
with
I
that.
See it.
Yeah, let's
that's
not start
saying.
With Greek Freak. You know, let's just focus
on
the Knicks right now. You
and
know, let's not even get into
and
that.
That's what
and
that's what that's exactly what I'm saying. Like, they kept hyping it up. Oh, there's a 95% chance, you know, Durant and KD are coming here. And we've been you know, saying it for the long – we've been preaching it for at least 2 years that we'll believe it when we see it. We'll believe it when we see it. Because if we were to believe the hype train, which, you know, of course it kind of creeps into you your mindset a bit, you know, especially before KD got hurt, you know, you don't want to believe it because – you know, the only team that gets great players to come to them is the Yankees. Other than that, all these other teams, you know, for the most part, you know what I'm saying? Like, they don't have a good track record of getting players, you know, who are in their prime, you know what I'm saying? Especially the Mets, so, you know, and the Knicks. So, I mean, we'll see what happens, you know.
Yeah, well, you know, KD and Kyrie did joining the Nets now, and, you know, you have a lot of people jumping on the Nets bandwagon. Listen, I'm from Brooklyn. I'm from Brooklyn, but I'm never jumping on the Nets bandwagon, no matter how bad the Knicks are, you know?
Exactly.
This is not going to do it. I'm going to stick and ride and die with the team that I've been following for years, since I was a kid.
Exactly.
So I'm just going to, you know, suffer right now as they lose, and then hopefully when they start winning soon, I'll rejoice.
Exactly.
So,
that's how you do it. That's how you do it. I mean, if I didn't grow up a Knicks fan in the 90s, you know, I mean, the way the Knicks have been horrible, I mean, who knows? I mean, I could have probably jumped on the Nets bandwagon, you know, when they came to New York. I mean, you know, when they came to Brooklyn. But I'm a loyal Knicks fan. The only way I won't be a Knicks fan is if they move the team out of state to, like, or out of country. Other than that, I'm a Knick for life. I mean, you know what I'm saying? That goes for all my teams, you know what I mean? And I'm not going to jump on the bandwagon, you know, on any other local teams. I'm just going to give up the sport altogether, you know?
Yeah.
That's most likely what I feel like I'm going to do anyway, if that happens. So, it is what it is.
Yeah, I'm not going to join the Nets and become the 10th fan. I mean, come on. What do you think?
All right, let's say worst case scenario, Yankees, Giants, Knicks. They all leave New York. They all decide. They make a pact. They're going to leave New York. And then they all go to, like, I don't know, Siberia or Australia. Would you still be a fan of those teams?
Yeah. I mean, I've committed my time and energy to them. So I have to follow them if they move. Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it'd be hard rooting for another team here in New York. You know, I'd probably still look at them once in a while, but I'd be still committed to those teams, dedicated to those teams. So, can you imagine if the Yankees move to Canada? I mean, I would still follow them. Yeah, it'd be tough. It'd be very tough, but my heart would still be with them. So. Called being a diehard fan, you know?
Me, I think I would still follow, see how they're doing, but I think I'd feel so betrayed that, you know, they just ended the relationship, man. I would just give up the sport, to be honest with you. I think that's what I would do. Because, you know, I'd be heartbroken. Like, you're invested in a team, and then now your team is the Kentucky Knicks or I don't know, the Utah Mets. I mean, like, come on, you know what I mean? It's like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like they you know, like, they, it's like they cheated on you and they moved to another state, you know, or country. Like, you were loyal to them and then they just leave you. How are you gonna go visit their game? You're gonna have to pay hundreds of dollars to buy airline tickets, and then not to mention the seats to go to the game. Just to see your team that don't even give a crap about their fans enough to stay, and they go move the team. Like, come on. Like, to be honest with you, I think I would just give up the sport altogether. That's how PO'd I would be. But then again, you know, I've never been in that situation yet, so who knows? Would I still follow them? I mean, I don't know. But as of right now, I think I would just give up the sport altogether. But I do know I would not be joining on no bandwagon. I wouldn't be a Yankee fan. I wouldn't be a Net fan or whatever.
Okay.
But, you know, that's just me.
Well, you know, hopefully that doesn't happen anytime soon. You don't have any other New York teams leaving. As much as I would love to see the Knicks leave New York, you know, still
they're embarrassed.
Still,
I guess it would be a blessing in disguise. I guess it would be a blessing in disguise. Like,
so you know, but anyway, I got to move on from the Knicks because I don't want to get bad luck and an earthquake hits my house. So let's go on to the WWE for a sec here. Man, I have to say, Raw this past Monday, that was probably the best Raw I've seen in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Heyman, he's now the executive director of Raw to get ratings up. And although I've been reading and hearing that, you know, although he's been named recently as executive director, he doesn't have full control of Raw yet. You know, Vince still plays a major role in it, so. Paul Heyman doesn't have full he's not full hands-on yet at the moment, but his fingerprints were all over the show, especially with, you know, two segments, one being the Braun Strowman Bobby Lashley stage explosion, which was brilliant, and you had what's his face cursing live on air,
Corey Graves,
I thought that was like Attitude Era-ish, you know?
Yeah, I was like, oh, shoot, Vince McMahon must be PO'd, like, how, for him to, like, accidentally say that.
Part of the script, man. Part of the script, of course.
Well, yeah, that came to the conclusion after.
You know? Yeah, you know? To get these ratings up, because let's be honest, the ratings for Raw Smackdown have been floundering. And you got pressure now from this AEW organization. You know, it's even putting more pressure on WWE now. So, but yeah, I mean, that segment and Maria and the Mike Kanellis angle, where now she's pregnant, but he's not the baby daddy, right? That's what it's sounding like. He's not the baby daddy or something like that.
Well, she's saying he is the baby daddy, but she's surprised that he could get her pregnant because he's not much of a man. And she said the only man in the ring is Becky Lynch. So apparently he is the father, but she's surprised that he was still able to impregnate her because he's not much of a man.
Wow.
And she said maybe she'll let
manhood.
Becky Lynch impregnate her.
Wow.
If that's even
crazy.
Possible. But I guess Maria knows more than me, I guess. I guess
Maria
don't mind.
Maria, she's be fine in the back of the day. She's still all right, but she's lost. You know, she's lost some mileage on her looks a bit. I mean, I'll still bang her. You know, I don't know about getting her pregnant, but, you know.
Well, she's there now, so you got to. So you're gonna have to wait in line behind Mike and Becky, apparently, according to her.
Well, I'm just saying. I'm just saying. You know, like, you know, she's still good looking. You know, and if she wasn't married, I'd bang her, of course. But I'm going off track here. But I thought that segment was brilliant. Also, you know, it just shows you that Paul Heyman, you know, those two ideas of his, you know, he's trying to bring back Raw to the. Attitude Era days.
Yeah.
And if you hear gunshots in the background, those are not really gunshots. Those are fireworks still going off. You hear that?
Those are natural state. I think I'm hearing from mines too at the same time as we're going on.
Yeah. Freaking. It's
very
July 5th. Actually, July 6th.
Yeah.
People are still. This went on throughout the whole night, or throughout the whole day on July 4th.
This happened even for me. It happened even before July 1st happened.
Me too.
Because people are very patriotic in Brooklyn, apparently. So.
Oh yeah. But But back to WWE for a second here. Yeah, so WWE has to get back to basics, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like how they did an Attitude Era where they were forced to, like, to be
edgy.
More edgy, you know, because WCW was on their heels. Or WCW had the edge over them, you know? So they have to get back to basics and have better storylines, you know, for all these characters. Build better characters, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Have some of these guys work on their mic skills, you know? Have some humor.
Yep.
And they've done that with the 24/7 title. I like that, you know?
Oh, yeah. That's
been great. Yeah. That's been great. So, yeah, I feel like they have to get back to that so that they can get the fans interested again and get these ratings back to historic numbers like when they were doing, like, sevens and sixes in ratings every night back in the day, you know?
For real.
This could
be a start. Drake Maverick has been stepping up his game ever since he's been feuding with R-Truth.
Yeah.
You know, with this whole 24/7 thing. And he actually had the R-Truth interrupt his actual wedding, apparently. So, I mean, that shows how testament of how he really wants to get over, you know.
Yeah.
And apparently he's the champion. Yep. So apparently he's on his honeymoon, and I'm assuming R-Truth. I haven't seen if there's any new video yet, but apparently R-Truth's gonna crash their wedding, their honeymoon. So,
I can't wait.
That's gonna
to see
be interesting.
That. That's gonna be funny. Yeah, man, I'm interested to see, like, you know, how Raw, how Paul Heyman continues to implement his ideas in Raw, and how Raw improves, and to see when Eric Bischoff finally starts, when he, you know, shows up and puts his ideas on SmackDown. And hopefully these two shows will improve where they're worth watching. Because, you know, for a while now, they haven't been worth watching. Or they've been the same stuff over and over.
Not even the pay-per-views.
Know?
Not even the pay-per-views. We, like on my show, you know, Sports Urban Legend, I couldn't even in good conscience, you know, like, review the matches, you know, or preview them. Because it's like, it's the same thing on Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah.
I mean, the pay-per-view event seems interesting, but one of the biggest things that are messed up, and you know who, in my opinion, is the worst wrestler in WWE right now is?
The worst wrestler?
Yeah.
I mean, you have to, what's his face? The big tall guy with the,
Brian Corbin.
Corbin, right.
Yep, guess what? He's having another title shot.
I love that guy.
But they're in love with this guy. And, dude, you won't believe this. This is a tag team title match. Tag team title shot match. Here it is. Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch, you know, which they're basically running that relationship on air to the ground. Like, it's like they're like Super Saiyan over. They're trying to get Seth over with him being with Becky Lynch so much. It's not even funny.
Wow.
But they're both putting their titles on the line against Baron Corbin and Lacey Evans. So if the bad guys tag team wins, they both win the titles. So this is this match is called, what is it, the last chance winner takes all tag team match. Like, they're running out of names, titles for names. Last chance, the winner takes all. What last chance? This is like Baron Corbin's like third title. The title.
Yeah, so many chances. Yeah.
Oh my God! Like this is.
They love this
we're just
guy.
Talking about what. We're just talking about in the recent months. We're not even talking about the other title opportunity he's had. Even though this dude is as bland as. I'm trying to think of something. I can't even find something to compare, you know, that's bland to Baron Corbin, because I don't think there's anything on Earth or even in Krypton that is as more bland as Baron Corbin.
Yeah.
But yet they love this guy.
They do. Vince loves him, you know, and that's why he's always in his goddamn storylines all the damn time.
All the time, man. This dude has more appearance on screen than anybody who's not a McMahon.
Yeah.
It's a joke.
I hope Paul Heyman faces his mouth. Paul Heyman comes to the senses and says, this dude is not needed. You know, keep him in the back or something.
I mean, when he came up, they were promoting him like, you know, he's the lone wolf. He's this tough guy from, like, Kansas City or whatever. You know, acting like he's this tough guy when he had a ball spot, you know, looking like he's a biker or whatever. Like, he's Trevor from GTA 5, you know. But you could see right through him that he's soft, man. He's softer than the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man from Ghostbusters 1. Like, I mean, you could see through him he was soft. And then now he's like this. Then they made him the constable. Like, that's an intimidating name. And then, you know, of course, then they've made him have a one-sided, you know, faction with Bobby Lashley and Drew McIntyre, which they help him out all the time for no apparent reason, random times, but he never helps them out. He never helps them out. Maybe he helps Drew out. But neither one of them, Drew or Baron Corbin, have never helped Bobby Lashley out. Whether he's defending the United States title or whatever, Intercontinental or whatever, they never help him out when he's in need. But they always helping out Baron Corbin.
Yeah. Sorry to interrupt you, but I was looking at ESPN with this breaking news about that earthquake that hit Los Angeles and affected the Summer League. This fine reporter, Malika Andrews. If you turn to ESPN right now, ESPN 1 or 2? Let me make sure. Oh, ESPN 1, yeah.
Okay.
I've never seen her before. She looked good.
Yeah, I mean, wow. Yeah,
Damn. That's a future Super Bay Bowl participant right there.
For real.
This is my first time seeing her. Gotta do some research on
her.
Malika Andrews.
Wow,
That should win
next month's what do you call it again? The baby of the month.
Oh yeah, right, baby of the month. Yeah, well, for this month actually, I haven't done it yet. So might give it to her next week probably. First time seeing her. She looked good. I got to do some research on that. But anyway,
thank you for that update, that breaking news. That was
I'll keep my eyes open.
Well, that was definitely a worthy breaking news right there.
I got court vision like Jason Kidd. But back to WWE. I saw this video. John Cena, he was in London recently, and he was going shopping. And this guy, who happens to be a YouTuber, was filming. And what was that?
What did you say?
You said something? Oh, that was your TV in the background. Oh, I thought you said something. That was saying that John Cena, he was recently in London shopping in a store. And this YouTuber was filming on his phone. And he just kept filming and going up to John Cena, saying, hey, John Cena, what's up? You know, John Cena looked like he just wanted him to get away. And as John Cena is leaving the store, the guy's still filming. John Cena gave him a piece of his mind. Here's a clip.
Take care, bro.
Yep.
I've got some advice for you.
Yeah, be respectful.
Alright, I'll be respectful.
That's my advice for you.
My name is...
ask if you can take a video, but you're just shooting video.
No, you know me. I'm famous.
I don't want to talk to you.
I'm famous. I'm Mo Dean.
It doesn't matter who you are. You don't treat anyone
with respect. Alright, I respect
treat
you.
Treat people with respect.
I got
thank you for asking to film my video, and then filming the entire time I'm in the store. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you do.
I'm you know, Speaker's Corner, London.
I don't care.
I help people.
Thank you very much for being respectful.
I swear, if you need anything, just let me know. I'm a good guy. If you need anything, just let me know. I'm a good guy. Yeah. Okay.
You're going to use this without my permission. You're going to use all of this without my permission.
No, but
you didn't ask to shoot. You're still filming.
Oh,
appreciate it. Be respectful.
All right. But no, Modine, London, yeah? Sis. I don't know why he's switching, bro. I'm just Modine Black. This is WCW. WWF. I don't remember what it's called. It's WrestleMania Black. Hulk Hogan and them, man. Yeah? I know these brothers, bro. I've seen them, yeah? What, man, I used to watch that when I was like 10 and that. But he's always been nice to him, bro. Yeah, I don't know why. I don't know what's wrong with him, bro. But yeah, well, big up. This is your boy Modine, yeah? I was going to tell him to give him some dawa and that, but my man was switching, bro. It's going to be hard to give him dawa, G.
So this guy, Modine, he was filming throughout while John Cena, you know, was in the store. And you know, as John Cena said there, you know, he didn't even ask to film him. Continued filming, disrespectful. And, you know, and John Cena, he was polite about it. He said, just ask. You know, you're filming without my permission. Just ask me, you know. But the guy kept being a dick. And I'm surprised John Cena didn't punch him in the face. You know, because if someone was filming me without my permission, I'd get heated. I'd probably hit them, you know. But this is the issue with fans. Fans feel like when they see a celebrity, they think that, okay, it's a celebrity. Yeah, these celebrities are going to be okay with you coming up to them and just, you know, acting like your buddy-buddy or requesting autographs when they're eating, getting into their personal space. Like, you have to respect these people's spaces just like anyone else. Mm. I see this all the time. Like, I don't get that starstruck when I see celebrities, you know? I don't go Google Gaga. I respect their space. I don't bother them. If I would have saw John Cena in there, I probably would have just looked and not said anything. You know, I probably would have waited till he got out of the store and then said, hey, you know, shook his hand, maybe get a picture, and then that's it. You know, but I would not have made the dude space.
Cena.
Huh?
We did see
what was
John
that?
Cena. We did see John Cena.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen him several times. Yeah, of course. You're talking about a wrestling event.
No, I'm talking about like at one of the what event was that? Was it Survivor Series or SummerSlam Survivor Series?
Well, that's what I'm talking about at the events. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
But I'm talking about like if you see them when they're not doing an event, like if they're in the store, when they, mm-hmm. you know, when you're not supposed to like even go near them, if they're at the dinner, if they're out shopping, stay away, you know. Don't invade their space unless you know them personally. I mean,
exactly.
Would you want someone coming up to you who didn't know you, filming you out of nowhere? I mean, that'd be disrespectful.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
I mean, as long as the person's respectful, I mean, you could, you know, give them a pass. But yeah, I mean, you gotta like respect their right to privacy because you're not the only person that's been bugging them all day. You're like the 10,000th person that day that was bugging them. I mean, if you're respectful, that's one thing. You know, maybe they'll consider it. But if you're just like being entitled and you're just like, hey, bro, you know, hey, man, I'm your favorite fan, you know, you better sign my thing.
Nah, that's not the way to do it.
That's not how you do it.
That's why some of these celebrities, they act like douchebags because some of these fans are dicks themselves.
And they're ruining for other fans to have opportunity.
Yeah. So, he should be grateful that John Cena didn't give him the F-U. The AA.
Oh, yeah, that too. Yeah.
So, word life. Disrespect these celebrities, man. I mean, I know these celebrities, they ask for it. Yeah, they're celebrities and all. And, you know, they're in the limelight. But, you know, you still got to treat them like human beings.
All right, exactly.
Because they're, you know, the only difference between me and the celebrity is, you know, they're more prominent than I am. And have more money than I am. But other than that, you know, they're human too, so.
Right.
That's all I got to say about that. But anyway, Yeah, how was your July 4th? You heard the firecrackers outside my house.
Yeah.
What did you do for July 4th?
I was cool. I hang out with a few friends of mine, and you know, we just chill basically.
Okay. Did you guys go to Brooklyn Bridge again?
Nah, but we went to Manhattan. But yeah, we saw it.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. Did you have a lot of food? Hamburgers, hot dogs.
Nah, I wish this. Yeah, there was an. Yeah. Nah, just basically watch the thing.
No food?
I mean, I ate a pizza, but it's not like I went to, like, a barbecue event or anything like that.
Oh, man. That was a ratchet July 4th.
Well, food-wise, yeah, that, I mean, it, yeah. But I had fun. But, yeah.
Okay.
I mean,
all right. Good deal. Yeah, I just, I just spent time with family here. Ate a lot of hot dogs, like 3 hot dogs. You know, I separated them too. I sent you the picture. One separated by ketchup, one separated by mustard, another separated by barbecue. Ate hot dogs, watched the hot dog eating contest. You know, watched Netflix a bit. Had some ice cream. Yeah, it was just pretty much relaxing on July 4th. That's what you're supposed to do. Spend time with family, and that's what I did pretty much. So it was good. And, of course, watched the fireworks on TV and heard the fireworks outside my house also. These damn kids playing with firecrackers. And you know those firecrackers that they play with where it sounds like bombs, where it just, like, this booming sound? They kept doing that over and over all night long. Had my baby sister yelling like she was being attacked by Jason or something. Yeah. But other than that, you know, it was good. It was a good July 4th. You know, so it's always a good time to just spend time with family and eat and relax, you know. That's the best part about it. But I mentioned ice cream. In the news recently, there's been people going to stores, opening ice cream, licking it, and then putting it back on the shelf. And this one girl did that. Yeah, very disgusting. This one girl, who is now in trouble, she opened up a Blue Bell ice cream, put it back on the shelf, and now she's facing jail time. And let me play the story so you could hear the details of this horrible person.
The talk of Texas is this story tonight. New development of the case of a woman licking that container of Blue Bell ice cream. Texans were outraged at the video posted on social media earlier this week. And now, KTK's Maya Owens is here to tell us about this ongoing investigation.
That's right, Neil. When the viral video hit social media, it launched an investigation into Walmart stores in San Antonio, Houston, and finally, Lufkin. When police say they were contacted by Blue Bell, letting them know this crime happened in their town. Now, this video shows a woman taking a gallon of Blue Bell ice cream out of the freezer, opening it and licking it before putting the container back. Now, Lufkin police believe they have identified that woman and say charges will be filed.
This incident is being investigated as a second-degree felony. It's a very serious offense. And if you think about all the implications and how it would affect consumer confidence in the products that you buy, you will understand why the legislature has classified it so highly.
Now, not only is this a state felony, but it could also be classified as a federal offense, and the FDA has been called, and they will look into it as well. Now, Blue Bell released this statement saying, "The safety of our ice cream is our highest priority, and we work hard to maintain the highest level of confidence of our customers. Food tampering is not a joke, and we will not tolerate tampering with our products." Now, Neil, many consumers have been criticizing Blue Bell for not taking proper measures to seal their ice cream. Now, the company responded saying the containers are flipped upside down and sent to a hardening room where the ice cream freezes to the lid, making it noticeable if it's been opened already. Eddie. Reporting live in studio, Maya Owens, KTK News.
That's nasty, man. Some people would do anything for likes. They lick the ice cream, put it back on a shelf, and then post it on social media, incriminating herself.
It's disgusting.
And now she's been caught. Yeah, people don't have nothing better to do with their lives, man.
Mm-hmm.
They will do anything for likes on social media now.
Yep.
Now,
that's a fact.
Now they've caught her, and she could face up to 20 years in prison for this. And that's good. I hope she goes to jail.
How many years does she have, potentially?
How many what? Incidents?
How many years does she will she potentially be locked up?
Oh, she could face up to 20 years in prison.
Wow.
You know, people could get sick. Don't put your mouth on a product, seal it, then put it back on a shelf, and then someone else buys it, and then they could get sick from your germs. You know? Who knows what she has? She could have some type of freaking disease or something, or infection, and you infected someone else. She should go to jail for that. Or be if she's not going to go to jail, fine her heavily.
Yep. She should get locked up. That hopefully, I'll stop people to know how something like that is. That's so disgusting.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. And this has spawned a challenge where you have some people now, they're doing copycat. They're copycatting her where they're going to stores, also opening up ice cream, licking it, put it back on the shelf.
Remember what's her name? Ariana did that with a donut.
Oh, yeah, I remember that, yeah. Disgusting, man. People don't think.
No, they're just so impulsive.
Talking about impulsive, I don't think it's repulsive. But
no, I'm saying impulsive.
Repulsive.
But yeah, it is. But it is repulsive too when you think about it.
Yeah.
But anyway, like you were saying,
it should be repulsive. You know,
yeah, it
disgusting.
Is. Yep.
But there's something else I saw. Well, some people think it's repulsive. I think it's a work of art. This cucumber challenge. Have you heard of it?
No, I haven't.
Where women are posting clips of themselves sucking on a cucumber, giving it a blowjob, and they're slobbering all over it. You know, they're pretty much showing how they suck dick. And you know, you have a lot of girls posting videos all through Instagram and Twitter showing their dick sucking skills on a cucumber. And some people think it's disgusting, repulsive. You know, they're looking hoish doing it. Me, I think it's a work of art. You know, if you can suck dick like that, you can suck my dick too. If your dick sucking skills doesn't look like that, I don't want it. So, hey, some people don't disagree with it. And there's this one dude, he posted a video commenting on it. Listen to this.
Now, y'all hear this music playing? If I ruled the world and everything in it, wouldn't be no such thing as this shit you see right here, bro. Like, come on, man. Women, what are you doing? Like, what are you advertising right now? Come on, man. Please tell me, ladies, you're worth more than a dick suck, right? And then this lady got two cucumbers right now. Two. You know what's going to happen? A nigga and his homeboy going to DM you and be like, yo, can you get us right? Are you really advertising yourself going and sucking two niggas' dicks? Really? It's 2019, ladies. Come on, man. Superhead, you didn't learn from her? She was popping for how many years and on social media worldwide with how many different celebrities? The Game, all these different people can tell you what Superhead was like. Superhead never got a ring. What's the goal in your life, ladies? I ain't saying everybody got to be married, but come on. What do you want from these niggas? Like DMX said, what these bitches want from a nigga? Like, what do you bitches want from a nigga? Real shit. What do you want? Do you just want to suck some dick? Like, what y'all trying to get a bag out of that? Y'all do understand it is STDs out here. Like, y'all posting this shit, man. How many niggas, what are you looking for? And y'all always talking about, we get the wrong dude, man. I ain't got a life partner. You're not going to get a life partner this way. I'm sorry. That shit look nasty as shit to me. All that spit dragging around off that shit. Bitch probably ain't even brush her teeth or nothing. That shit probably stinking like hell, man. Y'all know that slobber look too thick. That slobber shouldn't be that thick off cucumbers. Come on now. Tell me what's going on. That make me, I don't even want no cucumbers no more. Now I'm thinking they dipping that shit in some bullshit now. I don't even want that. Are y'all serious? What are your goals, ladies? I ain't gonna, cause those, are, I can't call you a lady when you do this stuff on social media, like, for the world to see. Who's gonna take, really, ladies, what do you expect? Like, really, seriously, if you're gonna upload a video with cucumbers, pretending that you sucking dick, right? Advertising yourself as the best dick sucker in the world, like Superhead, which is somewhere looking for a 401k from sucking dick. She broke right now. She can't even figure out how to get no money. 401k ain't gonna give you no money off that shit, right? So my thing is, man, stop false advertising yourself out here. That's just like a nigga trying to sell a car that gets charged up off electricity, but once you get it, you find out you gotta put gas in the motherfucker. That's what y'all doing. Y'all here twerking, half-ass naked, sucking on cucumbers, and then when a dude hitting, sliding your DMs, you acting like you don't know, why you saying that to me? What do you mean, why? Come on, nigga, want that dick sucked. If they see you sucking on cucumbers and shit, obviously, I'm not gonna slide in your DMs, but if I did, off of that, you know what it is. You know the drill. That's what anybody would say, right? Don't do stuff that you don't expect, that you, if I'm, come on, you can't promote stuff that you don't want, right? You need to start reading books on your Instagram. Show yourself reading books. You know what I mean? And the book should say something about how to get a husband, if that's what you're looking for. Because you ain't going to get them by sucking cucumbers and acting like they dicks and busting it open for the gram. Because everybody and their mama seeing you, right? Something to think on, man. I'm just saying, y'all, get it together, man. I ain't judging y'all. So for all my dick suckers on my live, on my page, and cucumber suckers, don't unfollow me because of what I'm saying. This is just one man speaking an opinion. If you don't like it, that's cool. I don't hide y'all videos. I see a lot of stuff coming out my timeline that I be like, oh, I don't really like that, but I'm just going to swipe the fuck up. I ain't got no reason to unfollow you. You feel me? But do what you do. Last thing, man. A queen attracts a king. Don't forget that. All right? Did you miss something that I said? A queen attracts a king. I don't really know what thoughts attract, alright? Let that marinate, alright? There ain't no Country Wayne shit. Let that shit marinate. I cuss. Country Wayne don't cuss. He in the church. I'm not. Let that shit motherfucking marinate, okay? Peace out.
I agree with him on some points, you know. A queen does attract a king. A classy woman attracts the classy guy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And some women are hypocrites, though. Some women, you know, they don't want a guy to degrade them or treat them wrong, but yet they're doing things to attract the wrong guys, you know? When you're posting videos of yourself, sucking, you know, on your dick-sucking skills, what type of guy do you think you're going to attract? And what do you think they're going to want when they see those videos, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, oh, why are these perverts or these guys, why do you want sex from me? Because you're showing off your dick sucking skills, that's why. Or you're doing hoish things, you know? These girls are so hip, these girls are so confusing.
Mm-hmm.
And hypocrites.
Yep.
But, you know, a lot of people are not going to agree with it. Again, I think, like I said before, if a girl can suck a cucumber like those videos, that's how I want my dick sucked. Real. I want the slobber all over it. I want the slobber knocking. what did that phrase come from again? Slobber.
JR
knocking.
JR from WWE.
I want JR to say it.
Oh, man. I don't know where he got that phrase from, but maybe he got it from that. I don't know. I've never heard him explain. I don't think I've ever heard him explain where he got that from.
Yeah, I'm curious.
No, I'm curious.
But yeah, if you haven't seen this, you know, Cucumber Challenge, go on YouTube and, you know, watch some of the videos. You'll be amazed. But moving on from dick sucking and cucumbers, and this is in no relation to those things, but Lil Nas X came out of the closet this past week.
I'm sorry, go back to the story.
So he came out of the closet, and some people already knew that he was gay.
Yeah.
You know, they already knew he was gay, so it wasn't a surprise, but it shocked some other people who had no idea, you know, he was gay. And because of that, he's getting some backlash, you know, from people who are anti-gay, or people who are homophobic. And he says, you know, that backlash isn't affecting him. You know, he is what he is, and, you know, he says, you cannot, he's gay. I'm no longer listening to comments out there. He's not letting negative comments affect him, pretty much, you know? He's going on with his business and his music.
That song, I guess that's why in the song, the old time road. You know,
yeah.
Nobody can tell him nothing. So
exactly. Yeah, you know. And you know, hey, I applaud him for coming out. You know, because a lot of times it's a tough thing for gay people to do, where they have to, you know, stay in the closet because, you know, they fear being hate comments or being discriminated against. You know, but I applaud him for that.
Well, yeah, I mean, he should. He has every right to, you know, come out if he wants to.
Be who you are, you know, don't hide it. If that's what you are, that's what you are, you know. So, commend him for that. So I just wanted to state that, because that was big news during the week. But, did you watch Big Brother? Or have you been watching Big Brother?
Man, not really, but you know what happened is I caught like the last 5 minutes of it when they were showing the fireworks thing.
Oh man!
But that episode on the what was it, Wednesday? It was crazy.
Yeah.
Or was it Thursday? Yeah, I think it was
Wednesday.
Thursday.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it was Wednesday, right?
So you saw what's his name, Cliff? I think, right? Cliff came back.
The old dude. No, I didn't.
Oh, actually, no, David. I mean, David.
You mean
sorry.
David.
Yeah, the black.
No,
dude.
I didn't see the part when he came back.
Oh.
How I knew
man.
He came back was after Jackson, Jason Momoa won the HOH, and then on the bottom of the screen they said, "I'm so happy David is back." I'm like, "What?" I'm like, "David is back." that's how I found out. I don't know how he won or whatnot, but yeah, I'm assuming he'd be Ovi, right?
Well, no. Here's the thing. There's a twist this year. The twist is when players get banished or evicted, they remain in the game, and they have a special cabin upstairs where they stay together, and later on in the game, they'll compete against each other. And one of them will return to the game and be able to play in all the Big Brother games. So right now, David and Ovi, who just got evicted, they're still in the house. And they could still socialize with the people that's in the house, but they can't play any of the Big Brother games until they battle their way back into the game to be officially part of the house. So right now they're unofficial members of the house, pretty much.
That's messed up. I mean, this is one of the Big Brother stuff where they just do stupid stuff just to to be original and do, you know, expect the unexpected. But if you do, if every season and every episode they do some new twist, it's not expect the unexpected. The unexpected is expected. Because you know they're always doing something ridiculous. It's not unexpected if you're always doing stupid stuff to shake up the stuff, you know, to surprise people. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I mean,
it's going to affect. It's crazy. Yeah, it's a crazy thing. And, you know, they're definitely, these people now, when they get evicted, they can influence the game even more so than ever now. You know, by socializing. So it's going to be interesting to see how, when these players get evicted, how they get their revenge on other players who voted them out now, you know? They make the house even more chaotic.
I don't even think they're going to have that much of a, I don't even think they're going to have much of a power in the house because they can't vote. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
yeah, but
they'll
be able to tell people dirt. They'll be able to reveal secrets and stuff if they feel that they were betrayed or they were backstabbed now. Now you can do that. Now you would just leave the house and then that's it. Now you could be like, oh, this player betrayed me. You know what? I'm going to get him back for that. Or I'm going to get him back for voting me out. So now they could use that to their advantage, you know, being in the house.
Right.
You know, and this could sway votes completely now in a different way. So it's gonna be crazy. It's gonna be a crazy summer in that house.
Yeah, for real, no doubt about that.
It's interesting twist, but gotta move on here because I can't stay. Only have 13 more minutes. But Stranger Things 3 premiered. Have you watched it yet on Netflix?
No, I haven't seen it. You?
No, not yet. I'm going to probably binge watch it over the weekend. Over the weekend here when I have some time. So maybe I'll watch some tomorrow and Sunday if I have the chance. So I'll try to catch some of the episodes. So hopefully in the next few weeks we'll give you our review on Stranger Things 3 once we're able to watch all the episodes. I think it's like, what,
yeah,
8 episodes? Something like that, right?
Maybe.
10?
I have no idea.
Okay. So Spider-Man, Far From Home. We saw it this past week. Without any spoilers, I mean, what did you think of the movie?
Oh yeah, I thought it was really good, you know. It was very funny. You know, they had some twists.
Yeah.
Especially at the end. But yeah, man, I mean, it was a great film, you know.
Yeah.
I would give it a 9, because there's not really much I would do to change it. You know, I thought Jake Gyllenhaal's portrayal of Mysterio was really good. You know, he was really good. Obviously,
you said Rey Mysterio.
That's Rey Mysterio.
I
thought it was Mysterio.
It sounded like Rey Mysterio, but.
Well, okay. Well, Mysterio, Rey Mysterio, whatever he wants to be called in the movie, you know, his portrayal was really good, you know, especially if you know Spider-Man comic books and the cartoons, you know, how some stuff are gonna turn out in the movie, but it was very good, you know. Tom Holland was great, you know, Zendaya was great, you know, basically everybody was great in the film, you know. It was very funny. I have nothing really bad to say about the film, really. I thought it was good.
I agree. I agree with everything you said. You know, it was a great film. It was one of the best Spider-Man films. Probably top 3, I'd say.
Yeah, I would say so.
You know, great performance, great action, some twist, but it kind of expected, you know. You know, I mean, people are not dumb. I mean, you know that Mysterio's not going to remain a good guy, you know, throughout the movie. I mean, people know that. People, if you follow, even if you follow the comics and the cartoon, you know that Mysterio's one of the Spider-Man's biggest villains. So, you know, eventually in the movie, he's going to turn into a villain. But
The way he turns into villain, you gotta watch. You gotta go see the movie for yourself.
It was beautiful.
Yeah. It was great. But
We knew the sort of what's happening, but the way how it happened was very unexpected.
Yeah, it definitely was. It definitely. But I thought Jake did a great job as a Mysterio, and this movie overall, it was great, man. I give it a 9. It was. And it's funny moments, the action pack, even had a tribute to Iron Man in there. I mean, it was good.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say go see it, and once you see it, maybe we could talk a little more about it, give you some spoilers in the next several weeks.
Right.
So, but now finally to the Summer Movie Challenge Week 2, Outsiders. So, this was our second movie of the week of the Summer Movie Challenge, and I've seen The Outsiders, but I saw it when I was a little kid, so there are a lot of things I don't remember about the movie, other than it had, like, a lot of stars in it, like Patrick Swayze, Matt Dillon, Tom Cruise, Emilio Estevez, Ralph Macchio, Rob Lowe. I mean, this was a star-studded cast. Like, you're not going to see a star-studded cast like that in, many movies. But and a lot of these guys were like, they were just beginning. This was like their coming out film almost. So, The Outsiders, it was, I think the film was in 1983, I believe. And it's in 1983, and it's based on the book written by S.C. Hinton, which is a female. So she wrote the book, and it's pretty much about these kids who are outcasts, gangsters, and they have a rivalry with the socialists or the Sokes.
Yeah, the Sokes,
as they call them, and the Sokes are like preppy jocks in the town, and there's a rivalry between the two groups. And you see that rivalry intense, and it gets heated, as the movie goes on, especially when, Ralph Macchio's character, Johnny, ends up killing one of them after one of them tries to drown Pony Boy, who's played by Matthew, what's his name? C. Thomas Howell plays Pony Boy. So once Johnny kills one of them, then he goes on a run with Pony Boy. They hide out. But eventually Johnny ends up dying in a fire. And the Sokes are after the Outsiders because of the death of one of their own. And then at the end, you see this big brawl, like a Royal Rumble happen, between the two groups. And you have the Outsiders prevailing in the end. But you see the death of Johnny, and you see also the death of Dally, played by Matt Dillon.
Dallas. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because he can't, he goes crazy once Johnny dies in the hospital. And, he robs a store, then he runs from the cops. He ends up being killed. So, you see a lot of things like that happening through the movie. You see, some sad things occur with the Outsiders. You hear how they're abandoned by their parents. They're looked down by society. You see throughout the film how much of an outcast they are,
Mm-hmm.
And how much they're looked down upon, and they're seen as nobodies. But in the end, they're almost seen as heroes. Well, they are seen as heroes because before Johnny died, he ends up saving kids from the burning church. Him and Pony Boy and Dally, and they're seen as heroes, and that's like their ultimate redemption in the end, So the movie, it starts out as these guys being a bunch of nobodies, but they do turn to somebodies in the end. So it was a good I thought it was a good transition, you know, from being outcasts into being, you know, heroes of the film. And, you know, you see the trials and tribulations of these guys. And, you know, it's a great film. You know, when I first saw it as a kid, I wanted to be an outcast, you know, by all these guys. You know, they're like, you know, they're gangsters, but they're underdogs at the same time, you know. But overall, the film was great, man. It's a cult classic. I give it an 8.5. You know, it's a very good film to watch. Well, what's your take on it?
Yeah, I mean, that's I'd agree with basically everything you said. You know, it was an all-star cast. You know, you got, Matt Dillon, Tom Cruise, Emilio Estevez.
Yeah.
You know, the list, Diane Lane, I mean, the list goes on, you know,
yeah.
Patrick Swayze, you know, like,
yeah.
Ralph Macchio, I mean, the list just keeps going on. It was a all-star cast, and I haven't read the book, but from what I've seen, from what I've heard, it looks like they stay pretty much to the book.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, is a great thing. That's what could you ask for somebody who wants to read the book, you know what I mean, and watch the movie. So yeah, I would agree with you. I'd say it's probably an 8 or 8.5 myself as well, because I mean,
okay.
they really did a great job with the casting, you know.
Yeah,
sure.
They definitely did. And you know, when I did research, I found out that there was a TV show. A TV show like 7 years later, 1990. You had what's his name? David Arquette playing Two Bits, Emilio Estevez's role in the show. And it kind of looked like a, huh?
Did they have any of the recording people reprise their roles?
No, they didn't.
What was this? Was this like a remake?
It was a sequel to where they left off, but with different characters, and the TV show looked like a 902. I sent you the link of it. Yeah, like
I haven't seen it yet.
It was like a 90210 type feel, where you see like the intros of each character. You know, here's the theme. You hear the theme in the background, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty much the theme of the show. Theme song. And they introduce each character. So you have, like, you know, all of the characters, but it's played by different actors in the TV show. So, but yeah, you definitely have to check out that that YouTube clip I sent you.
Most definitely.
But one of my favorite lines in The Outsiders was when Dally's on the bed after Johnny dies, and he says this.
You know, we gotta win that fight tonight. We gotta get in with those socials. Stupid Johnny, man. We'll do it for Johnny.
Do it for Johnny. That's my favorite line in the film. When Matt Dillon's character ready to like go to, he's ready to beat the shit out of those socks. That's my favorite part, but real quickly, Will, for next week, some movie challenge. What movie do you want to watch next?
What are the choices again?
Good Will Hunting, War Games, Just One of the Guys, Dazed and Confused, Room, Soul Man, Sleepers, and Max Dugan Returns.
What do you want to see?
Let's do Soul Man. You know, we can do that.
Okay. Yeah.
See,
let's do that.
Okay.
Let's do that. Funny thing, I think yesterday or today, I was watching Eddie Murphy's White Like Us thing. So.
Oh.
So.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess we should watch it.
All right. So we'll watch Soul Man and give you our reviews next week. So for me and Will, signing off. See you next next Saturday, hopefully, at my original time at 10. And check out Will's show, Sports Urban Legend, Saturdays at 11. So for me and Will, we will see you next week. Peace out.
Peace.